This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
And there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will. And it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. It's sort of fast and furious, if you know what I mean. We're looking at a whole wide range of things. You know, what is going on with the economy being ramped up, or at least the president wanting to do that. We now have L.A. County Sheriff fears danger from inmates released due to coronavirus as the crime wave grows. That's from Fox News. Shocking, shocking. The good sheriff down there who was sort of manhandled by the Trump administration here just recently, he's a little concerned. I bet he is. Releasing all those inmates hasn't really been helping the crime wave. Anyway, just a few things that are sort of sidestepping reality in California, but we're going to be talking a lot about California here in a minute. Chris Street's going to be joining us in just a few seconds, but we want to clarify everything else we've done today in terms of a review, I guess you can say. We talked quite a bit about the president and his position. He says he can open up the economy. Governors are all around the United States are saying, wait a minute. A little bit of pushback going on there, but actually he has the power, he has the authority to do that. He's not going to put it down on them, ram it down their throats, unless they're doing something inappropriate. Now, we're going to watch this very carefully because we did, in fact, reveal some things in the last hour about, some of the people that are found within those states and why they would want to be, like in California, Washington, and Oregon, creating a pact, a federation, maybe a new nation, I don't know. Anyway, just throwing that out there. We've got Chris Street with us right now. And Chris, lots being said about the economy, ramping up the economy. You're the perfect guy to bring in here because certainly in the case of California, actually for the whole nation, besides the coronavirus, there was this whole economic thing going on with China Your thoughts on where we are right now. First of all, I guess let's talk a little bit about where we were before the whole coronavirus, and now we're into the coronavirus. But there was a certain economic uncertainty coming our way in California and the rest of the nation. Isn't that correct, before the coronavirus?
Well, I think it was the change was very clear that America was moving away from globalism. And these tend to be long cycles, you know, 20, 30-year cycles.
Right.
You know, the British went through this in the 18. You know, the biggest globalist cycle of all time, biggest year was 1895, you know, the British Empire. And, you know, 20 years later, they're basically destroyed in World War One. They did win at the end, but what it took to win basically had knocked them out. They were already a hollowed out country because they'd lost their manufacturing. Here in the U.S., we were on the path to the end of the British Empire, but certain places make money on that. You know, London made money during the late 1800s and the early 1900s on being the banker of the world. Lots of people made money on, you know, moving factories overseas for, you know, dirt cheap slave labor. You know, they played the same game. California was winner in that game along the coast. Unfortunately, these things go cyclic for the people on the coast.
Right.
And, you know, you were back to a cycle where, you know, the Heartland was going to win, agriculture was going to win, and the people who didn't make anything were going to lose. Now, that may be interrupted by, you know, the current crisis we have. But if you look at it, you know, they haven't shut down agriculture. Agriculture is on the way to having the greatest year in its history. You know, they haven't shut down big American industries as far as their ability to come back. There's a lot of very sad stories about service businesses and people whose lives have been ruined by this. But the funny part is, Paul, it was young people who believed in globalism because they thought somehow they'd win. That script has been flipped. And everybody I talk to, every young person, this is the worst thing that ever happened to them. This is their 9/11 moment. And they are angry, and they're angry clearly at one organization, and that's the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, have they set the tone, haven't they, with this coronavirus. So now we have the impact of the coronavirus. And, of course, back up a little bit, because you brought this out at the Constitutional Convention number 6 in San Luis Obispo. You brought this out very, very clearly about where we stand, you know, about the cyclical nature of things. And California is in a certain position right now economically because they don't have the cash. And they're getting some bailouts, I think, probably from the federal government at this point in time from the coronavirus business staying afloat. Would that be a fair assessment, that California is being sort of helped right now by the coronavirus and the feds?
Oh, I don't think so, Paul. I think they may be stabilized here with some costs and expenses and some hospital costs, but that's not really what the game is. Remember that most money the federal government sends down flows through the state, and the state rakes off 12.5% from it.
Right.
The real issue, Paul, is they've lost capital gains. I don't know anybody who's making huge capital gains right now, given what happened to the stock market. You know, so you got people taking losses. You know, all of that was $18 billion a year for California. In the normal cycle, when you have, you know, a big period of high capital gains, that usually they lose about 80% of that, you know, in a flat to down market. You know, same thing with real estate. You know, they'd be lucky if they get $3 billion in capital gains this year. And remember, if people taking losses, they're going to claw back on that. So, you know, California lost $20 billion in revenue there. My guess is they've lost somewhere in sales taxes. The state, mostly local government, probably has lost somewhere around $30 billion. And the state, of course, relies on property taxes, but that too is cyclical. So you probably lost, all told for the state of California, $70 billion
already. Jeez. I mean, how can, it's the question of the day. How in the heck is California going to make ends meet at this point?
Well, they're going to get their end. I don't know if it's going to meet. Well, I think what you've got a situation here is, remember that property taxes, it takes a year before it cycles. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be okay on the cash flow right now. Even if, you know, people don't pay, they can borrow that money. But in 18 months from now, it is just holy hell. And of course, you know, you've got Moody's and others coming out and warning that state and local government could have essentially a tax depression. And the good news about that, if you're somebody who wants to see the end of California's social justice wonderland, is that Moody's is going to come out and downgrade all these state and local entities. And when that happens, of course, all of that pension, you know, that I keep saying the pensions don't matter. Well, they really don't matter, Paul, until somebody comes along. You know, after the battle, they send the accountants out and they shoot the wounded.
Yeah.
You know, that's about what's happening. You're about to have, when California gets downgraded, Moody's will turn around and say, what about that pension? What about that pension you say is going to make 7%? What about that pension that invested heavily in China? Oh, okay, we got to downgrade that. So all of this is just going to pile on pile on pile. They had fun on the upside. It was the escalator on the upside, and it's the express elevator on the downside.
So how far away do you think a downgrade by Moody's, as an example? I know there's already been some downgrading at California, but how far away for Moody's downgrading, you think? 10 months?
Well, No. I think, let me see. I think by the end of the year, you get the downgrades. So we're probably talking October, November.
Yeah. Okay. That was.
And then remember, there'll be the first downgrade. That will precipitate a real accounting wash of all the numbers out there, which will then generate a second downgrade relatively soon, say 4 or 5 months later. So remember, each time you do this, all of your best friends at the bank, somehow your phone doesn't work anymore and they don't answer your call.
Yeah. They're just not answering.
Hello?
That's what happened in the Orange County bankruptcy, isn't it? They just didn't answer. Hello? What's that, Orange County? Where's that?
Where's Orange County? They weren't given, you know, they weren't abandoning them. They just, somehow the phones went out.
Just the phones didn't work, yeah. And, of course, we're referring to 1994, December, when Orange County declared bankruptcy. Of course, it didn't go bankrupt, but they never do. But they were trying to make calls for lenders to try and meet some of the cash flow problems, and nobody was answering the phones. That's kind of what's going to happen to California. And now I want to say that really you're still right on with your prediction, because you were predicting about that time in October, end of this year, 2020, which is we're looking at, which is not that far away now, is when the downgrades would start to happen. That's going to really hurt California hugely.
I said that it would all be in play, and we're getting there.
Wow.
Nobody knows how these games play out, Paul. I mean, the bottom line to it is, you know, when you fall off Mount Everest, just because you didn't hit the ground yet doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, that's right. That's when you do the dead cat bounce.
Yeah. The dead kitty bounce is not going to be fun for social justice wonderland.
So the... Yeah, I can just well imagine that. So that's a prime. That's a prime time for New California, of course. Okay, now let's throw in the coronavirus though, and this whole shutdown that's been going on that we're all facing right now. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Paul, I mean, I give you some numbers that help. There are real research studies that say the difference in coronavirus versus Ebola versus SARS versus MERS, and these are other types of highly infectious diseases that scared the hell out of everybody, but were managed. The problem with this one is that China hid what the scale of the problem was. And when you hide what the scale of the problem was, they can actually trace it by weeks. If they had announced it 1 week earlier, it would reduce the total number of coronavirus cases by about 14%. They'd announced it 2 weeks earlier, it would have reduced the total number of cases by about 40%. If it had been 3 weeks earlier, it could have been closer to 90%. It's when people see that this is happening, they jump on airplanes and they fly to safety. And they flew to two places for safety. Wuhan, because it was such a big city and such a, you know, a top, it's the biggest inland port in China. It's the center of a lot of their industry. You know, there were direct flights to northern Italy, where they have places like Prada Armani, and, you know, this is to Milan. They could fly directly to Milan, of course, and, you know, the most beautiful, some of the most beautiful places in the world, and the Richie Rich. And they flew directly to Milan. They also started flying from Wuhan to where they can fly, which is Seattle. So you can see how this worked out, and there's a lot of talk now that, you know, this came from Europe. That's exactly right. They connected in Wuhan to go on to New York. Funny how that works,
well,
right?
They connected by way of Italy to from Wuhan to Italy to New York. Yeah.
From Milan, you could fly to Milan, connect to New York. What a lovely thing.
I guess they're following the Silk Road idea business by air, though.
Well, the funny part, you say that because, you know, you hear about this, you know, Belt and Road is all out there for China. The Belt and Road is just an overlay of the British Empire's coaling stations around the world. In their day, you can only go so far and you had to get more coal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So you look at the map of what Belt and Road is, it's really an effort to establish the British Empire. History repeats itself. You know, they say it rhymes. It rhymes really, really closely.
Okay, let's break this out for the audience. The coaling stations is important because when they went from sailing ships to coal and steam, then they had to have coal delivered to various places around the planet, literally. For these ships to port and pick up more coal and be able to steam off. Isn't that right?
Well, that's right. Remember, it was a paddle wheel was the point of power in the steam engine. And, of course, once you had a steam engine, the beauty of it was you could move it anywhere you had water and you could pipe water there. And, of course, it immediately changed the power of the world because – you know, the biggest trees were grown in Europe. They don't have big trees in England. But once you had steam power, you could make the bigger combustion units and go as far as you could go. And as far as you could go was to the next coaling station. This was twice as fast, was twice as efficient, and could have twice the size of ships. Essentially was the change. So, of course, England immediately laid out a series of stops along the world so that they could dominate trade.
And that was the Silk Highway.
That is, you know, that is the new Silk Road. But Belt and Road is really the, you know, overlay of the British Empire.
Okay, so
these things are very interesting in that they tend to cycle, and what made the British Empire rich eventually bankrupted it because of the cost.
Huh. You know, one of the things that comes up though is, you know, Tedros Adhanom, who is the World Health Organization. He's from Ethiopia, and Ethiopia has a lot to do with China. And so does he, interestingly enough. But my understanding is that China's there because of the Belt and Road in Ethiopia. Is that true?
Well, that's right. I mean, Ethiopia's long been an area known for trade. The British, it was very, very important to the British. And, of course, now that the Chinese are back, it's very, very important for the Chinese. These are strategically located areas that tend to have good transportation and the way that things funnel in to their ports. One of the problems that Africa has is not very rich soil, and a lot of it is very dry. But there's certain areas like Ethiopia, which, you know, at one time, I believe, I can't remember the name of the king, but, you know, it was in ancient history, Ethiopia was one of the richest places on the planet.
Right, right. That's interesting. Well, it's interesting that Tedros is there, from there. And, of course, he's the guy who started this whole coronavirus business. Going back to the coronavirus in Wuhan, you can see how it's been distributed, and you bring up some really good points about the rich going off to Italy. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why. And Spain. And Spain was, you know, just a hop away from Italy. And, of course, the relative, the two cultures are very, obviously, they're very similar. And, of course, appealing to the rich from China has always been a big part of what Spain's all about as well. Okay, so anyway, but the Wuhan area seems to be the one area that's hit the hardest in China from the coronavirus.
Well, Paul, there's two stories on. Did it come out of the only biosecurity lab, level four, in China is in Wuhan. There's a lot of stories that this, you know, somehow was a bioweapon that got out. I'm not so sure, but what I am sure about, because I've got relationships and people I know there,
right?
They told me that the lab animals from the Wuhan level four biosafety lab, the used animals were being sold in the wet market.
God.
I kid you not, it was well known. Everything in China has very rigid rules, you know, and then you pay the Guanji.
You know, Guanji.
Everything's about a bribe. You know, right. They don't call it a bribe. You know, you give them a pack of, you know, $120 box of Jiton cigarettes. And, of course, they sell it for $80 back to the guy that sold it to you for $120. You buy it for $120 again and sell it to the next person you need to Guanji. Wash money with. He sells it for $80 back to the guy that got it from. Very efficient.
Yeah, very efficient.
No problema.
Yeah, so they were selling the animals that were used in the lab in the wet market.
I kid you not. So, I mean, you know, is it stupid? They had a bio-level security lab, level 3, in Beijing that worked on SARS, and they had multiple releases of SARS where people weren't taking the shower they're supposed to take, and they wouldn't go through the, you know, procedures. Now, you know, they've had a couple of these issues in the United States and in Canada once or twice, not a series of them like they had in Beijing. The journal Nature actually, you know, warned that this was going to be an issue. Now, Nature has been really careful to say, they haven't taken down the article, but they've been really careful to say there's no proof that it was a bioweapons release, but, you know, it was there. Everybody knew this was, you know, a big deal. And the way it sort of got done was the head of the WHO was a Chinese woman for two terms for 12 years. The moment she got the lab approved, which is in 15 and started construction in 2017, she resigned.
Really?
So they're very incestuous relationship with, you know, the World Health Organization, which gets $86 million from China and $974 million from the United States. That's the kind of insanity that this all plays into.
Well, and, you know, I understand that there was actually special money that was put aside for the coronavirus study to be done in Wuhan.
There's a lot of money being put up. That is a side issue as to whether they were studying bats in Wuhan. They may, you know, that may have been the issue. The most important part of this is the incestuous nature of these organizations under the Obama administration, which encouraged this. How could China be giving 1/11 the amount of money to the World Health Organization after almost burning down the world with SARS? Isn't there a little bit, you know?
Yep.
See, America is the sucker, and that's been the problem.
And, of course, this is and Donald Trump knows all this.
He's been very much on their case to try to change these relationships. And the funny part is, yesterday, MI6, you know, James Bond on
right.
Majesty's Secret Service,
right.
came out and actually warned the British government that officially warned the British government that China will take advantage of the economic challenges here to try to buy very important technologies, companies in the UK, and that their students are busy, you know, stealing, you know, information from universities like Oxford and Cambridge.
Right.
So this has always been there, but the money was so big, nobody would talk about it. That's changing.
And of course, here in the United States, we still have a lot of that problem with our universities. Changing, though.
Paul, it's all about money. You know, you get this kid as your graduate student, and we set you up a special relationship in China and a special organization. We pay you money there. Now, you're supposed to declare that you have that relationship, but very few did. And they're actually starting to jail U.S. scientists at universities, you know, throw them out from tenure for not disclosing. I think we're in a different world than we were, you know, 6 months ago.
Right, right. I want to go back to the Wuhan discovery, and I first heard that from you weeks ago about the animals being actually, I think when we talked about it, I didn't know the animals were being actually sold in the wet market. How prevalent does Congress know about the sale of these animals from the lab to the wet market?
People know about all this stuff, Paul.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just the wet market's 400 yards from the bio lab. First of all, why would you ever put a bio lab within 400 yards of the market?
That is so mind-boggling to me to understand. I mean, naturally, there's going to be one of these kind of things happen. I mean, it's just, and of course, if somebody wants money and they have access to those animals, they just go sell it. You know, I mean, it's very obvious to me. I mean, you just to think that you would have a laboratory of that nature close to a lot of humans even is another staggering bit of information. So how does this all play out? How does the Vietnamese related to any of this coronavirus, or are they?
Vietnamese, well, part of the problem is, of course, that the Vietnamese had a lot of factories from China, but that is starting to be weeded out. What is really big here is the U.S. Theodore Roosevelt was basically taken offline by a coronavirus.
Right.
You know, and people are saying, "Oh, the admiral that was running, you know, the captain of the ship, you know, he was abused for saying that there was a problem." That is the safety and security of the world steaming around the South China Sea.
And the other nuclear weapons, by the way,
the U.S. Nimitz, which was in port in Japan, also has coronavirus cases, and it's taken offline. So that. You know, we're dealing with something really different. There were two B-52, two plane flights. First of all, you have B-52 flight. It's a big deal when it goes down the South China Sea. They're flying them in pairs right now. B-52 bombers. What did B-52 bombers carry, Paul?
Nuclear weapons, last time I checked.
Nuclear weapons, that's right. We're flying pairs of B-52 bombers through the South China Sea to demonstrate that America is not going to put up with China pulling some antics during the coronavirus. But on the other hand, China has already succeeded in taking out the most powerful weapon systems, two of the most powerful weapon systems on the planet.
So the discussion of a bioweapon would come into play here.
Right. Anything that anybody's ever thought about as far as weaponry, you don't have to kill them. You know, it's like the World War One, what they learned, it was better not to shoot the wounded on the field, because in the old world, you know, you go out there after the battle and you shoot the wounded. They learned to leave the wounded there so people would have to care for them and it'd take up all their resources. I mean, war is a lovely concept anyway, but so by, you know, releasing some kind of debilitating agent, you don't just get the system offline. you get hundreds and hundreds of people offline, and thousands of people have to take care of those hundreds and hundreds of people. That is what this has proved to be a quite effective tool of war.
Well, yeah.
So one of the questions, Paul, is did China know the economic hit is going to be so bad and was going to so undermine them, they decided to share it with the world?
Well, I would think that they probably did. Of course, I'm the suspicious conspiracy theorist kind of guy anyway.
You don't need to be conspiratorial here to understand the scope and the dollars involved. I mean, this is a spectacular 9/11 on spades.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can say is that we are, every time you have some event like this, you learn. And we are, the world is learning. If you talk to young people, this is their 9/11 moment. They understand now that this isn't about wonderful trips to see, the wall, the Great Wall in China. This is about having your life decimated. It's about you sitting in your 550 square foot walk-up waiting to die alone and afraid. I think there's two things that are going to come out of this. One is there's going to be a lot of depression. On the other hand, there's going to be a lot of people who change their mind about their lifestyle. And I think you're going to have a huge increase in awakening in religious intensity and people deciding they want marriage and children.
Right.
If you've got to be stuck alone, it's wonderful to have your children near. If you have no children, it's not the same lifestyle.
Let's talk a little bit about the hydroxychloroquine and the significance of that right now in terms of this play, because I understand what I'm learning about this whole thing with the coronavirus is a binary type of virus, and there's some speculation that with this announcement of hydroxychloroquine as being basically a remedy for it, it's really kind of thrown a lot of things off in terms of its use as a biological weapon. Have you heard about that?
Hydroxychloroquine may help reduce the intensity. I don't think anybody's saying that it, if you take it as a what's called a prophylactic.
Right.
A prophylactic means you take it and then you don't get any of the symptoms.
Right.
Which is exactly what people want because 25% of all colds each year are a form of coronavirus. They've been around for at least 7,000 years. They've probably been around forever. But it does reduce the intensity of the symptoms. But, it's not the cure-all remedy. It's not anything in the way you could use as, some kind of vaccine or some kind of thing you take once a year to make sure you build up your system. We're still early on in this. And I think the biggest issue we don't know about yet is when the sun comes out. Each year, the flu decimates the world. And just as it gets the most powerful, the sun comes out and it goes and it drastically falls back. Hopefully, the same thing will be true with coronavirus, and I don't like to call it coronavirus. I like to call it CCP virus, because as I said at the start of the show, 15% reduction had they told the world a week earlier, 40% reduction 2 weeks earlier, and almost 90% 3 weeks earlier. So this is a Chinese Communist Party virus.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's safe to say, I think, obviously, I mean, most people are going to say it's a biological weapon being used against us. And quite by accident, animals are sold in the Wuhan wet market, quite by accident. It's hard to believe that's an accident. What's another thing, Chris, and maybe you've got your military connections. Why in the world would they port the Theodore Roosevelt in the midst of this virus business in Vietnam?
Because it's called Cameron Bay.
Ah. Okay.
This is a dagger at the throat of the Chinese Communist Party, right? You put American aircraft carriers, if Vietnam flips to the United States, and clearly that's what's happening, I think we should have aircraft carriers going through Cameron Bay regularly. because this is the, you know, this is going to stop a lot of the shenanigans that the Chinese are up to, because they're trying to take over essentially the entire, all of Asia. You know, instead of starting a war like Japan did, you know, they're sort of doing little actions where they take an island here, they force you down.
Steal it.
Yeah, I mean, I steal it fair and square. The bottom line to it is it's a little island hopping game, and we know what their goal is. They want Taiwan. They get Taiwan, they control the area. They control all the trade. They can freeze out Japan. I mean, they pretty much won the game. Vietnam and Japan have an opinion about that.
But Cameron Bay, kind of explain that to everybody, because this is a Vietnam War issue. How important is Cameron Bay?
Cameron Bay was the big American military port during the Vietnamese War. And it is a very sheltered harbor, so if you get a monsoon that comes through, and of course that's the hurricane on their side of the world, if you get a monsoon that comes in, that sheltered port...
Or a typhoon?
A typhoon, excuse me, yeah. That sheltered port drastically reduces damage to the, you know, to the ships, and so they can go in this very protected harbor and, you know, wait out big storms. That is extremely valuable versus just anchoring offshore somewhere where you've got the full surge of the ocean, potentially the cost of the storm itself. So America wants to have a relationship with the Vietnamese. If the Chinese are going to play dirty, which of course they have been playing dirty, you definitely need to balance the equation with a relationship with Japan and a relationship with Vietnam, and we're well on the way to that. The real question is, Paul, you know, these kids obviously go off these boats and they go do what they do. Was there somebody sent from China to make sure that, you know, this became a gift to the United States? That's the real issue. The real cloak and dagger here is, how did they spread it to these seamen? How'd these sailors get it? It'd be real easy because they're all over town. You know, they're just guys and gals having fun out drinking. And you know, this thing is incredibly contagious.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to me, it's, and again, my sources, my sources who are listening to you back and forth right now from all points of the United States are kind of chiming in here through texts and so on. So it's kind of interesting.
Be careful not to say things that are irresponsible.
Yeah, I know you're
because
right.
I have nothing against the Chinese people. I understand the Chinese. I think I understand their history. But you're dealing with it. You're dealing with a dynasty that is beginning to fall apart. And the problem in China is they go for 200-300 years of stability, you know, with the dynasty. But when it falls apart, it is a mess.
Right.
And it's vicious, violent, you know. And if you're the Chinese leadership, and you feel threatened, you're going to lash out and try to use nationalism to distract the people from the fact that you probably, nobody knows how many died there, but it was obviously in the tens of millions, not thousands, millions or tens of millions.
Let me ask you this.
Of course, China has a lot of people to lose, right?
Yeah, sure. You're talking about a population of about 1.3 billion people or something like that. It's a pretty big number of people. There's stories that are going around about 21 million cell phones have lost activation out of Wuhan.
That's why I said tens of millions. I'm not going to say that, but all of this will come out over time, Paul.
Yeah.
We're early in the game. Remember, this thing really became, it probably started in November. They know the first case was November 17th.
Right.
They know that by December 20th, there were, I believe, I reported there were four labs around China that had got samples of this. I mean, they were mailing them to labs around China, just, you know, putting them in the airmail and asking them to you know, sequence the code and find what this is. That is not what I would call good, you know, good response in something that could have been a coronavirus outbreak. In any one of those genetic labs, they're not bio labs, they're genetic labs, could have released it and probably did.
That's, you know, there are different ways to send those codes around where they don't have to actually use the actual, you know, sampling. They can, there are different companies. I know Affymetrix is an example. It's one of the companies that takes that, puts it on a disc, and you can send it around without having to do the actual specimen. But that's just, you know, that's just the stuff that's out there from a genetic standpoint. Okay, but the number of phones, I think, is a very interesting number. So you're saying that the tell later on will be from other sources that'll put the whole picture together about how this thing was spread, how it got from point A to point B. And I know there's investigations that are going to go on in Congress, and we'll maybe find some fairly good information that that can come out of Congress, you know, could possibly anyway. I guess the big question now is how are we going to open up the economy at this point? And I got a question from one of our people. Should we expect to see an increase in births in 9 months from now because of the forced quarantines?
That's right, Paul. You know, you're either going to get be beating on each other and have depression, or you're going to have a lot of babies. It's very interesting to see how this works out. That's just the canary in the coal mine. The real issue is Americans have realized they need to cling closely to their families. You know, we're not in this together, as they'd say, although as a country we are. But you as an individual, if you don't have a support system, if you can handle being alone, you know, for months, you know, in a small quarters, that's like being in prison. At least in prison, you can go down, you know, you watch TV together and you go to the exercise yard and you do it. I mean, they have none of that. So I think the bigger issue is that there's a social statement here on the importance of family. I mean, all those kids in New York, as soon as this happened, one of the reasons it spread in the U.S. is they all went back home. You know, it's basically a bunch of young kids that work in New York in, you know, support jobs. And of course, they probably flew that stuff right back to, you know, where they came from. So I think that we're going to have a lot of depression. I think we're going to have some babies. I like babies. If 6 months ago, if you went to a coffee shop in America, the hottest outfit that a woman could have coming into that was not the Gucci shoes or the Prada dress. It was the baby carriage and holding the arm of your husband. I mean, that was, yeah. I got kids, I can tell you, that's the big deal. That is going to be so on steroids when we're done with this. I think religion, the idea that, you know, you have something to hold on to that's stronger than, you know, than what you hear on CNN. You know, we're all going through a process and a cycle, and our children are going through that same kind of cycle that, you know, a lot of us, you know, we're faced at some tragedy, whether it was, you know, the destruction of the heartland and all the factories that moved out and off to China. I mean, there's a whole generation scarred from that. There's a generation scarred from 9/11. There's a generation that'll be scarred from this.
It's interesting. You know, I totally agree with everything you're saying, because it's the family units are really starting to come into play. I know with my own grandchildren, so on. I'm watching with amusement to see what their families are doing. It's kind of funny, but they're doing well. Actually, they're doing very, very well. It's a very interesting time in our nation to see this sort of level of inactivity in terms of a nation, but more activity being focused on the four walls that immediately surround you. I guess, you know, one of the big things that comes up with a lot of people is how are we going to open up this economy? You know, how is it going to, and does the president have the authority to tell the states at this point in time, yeah, you have to follow along and do what we ask you to do?
the president has the authority to regulate interstate commerce, right?
Exactly.
So he can just he can put blockades up at the borders. He can do that. And, you know, that I understand New York wouldn't follow any of the rules, kept the subways open, caused a massive event because of that. And, you know, now they want special treatment because they're going to be different than anybody else because, you know, they think they're over the hump. Okay, your credibility is zero. I know that Cuomo comes on, sits there, talks about how, you know, he's such a smart guy and he needs all 40,000 of the ventilators.
Right.
National, and when he's done with them, he'll give them back. What about the other 49 states? People aren't thinking that way. So the real issue is, Paul, that we'll have a plan, we'll execute it, but the biggest plan is the sun is going to come out and kill this thing. That's what's going to happen. It's what's always happened before. I that's what'll happen again. And when it does, the number of cases will go down and people will start. Yesterday you could see more people on the road.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I think people are finally, you know, we did our Easter sunrise service in complete defiance of the three counties that we were engaged with the other day in socializing and so on, which we'll continue to do. And we encourage people to get out and move around. It's plenty of sunshine here. And, you know, that's one of the things that it's the rub on the Constitution, of course, from these local health officials, which have usurped just so much power. Anyway, but as you say, the economy, just open it up, tell people to start opening their businesses, those people that still have a business to go to, and open it up, especially the restaurants. Restaurants, open up, please, so we can get this whole thing going on. I think that's probably one of the best things to do. The restaurants and the food, that's important, and get those supply chains also reestablished. That's a big thing, the lack of the supply chains right now with the food industry. I know that.
Well, Paul, I'm more optimistic. We now have the largest cattle herd. We have the largest pork herd. We have the largest chickens.
Poults, I think.
Yeah, chick poults. Yeah, largest number. You know, America came into this, you know, with a great harvest and everything like that, huge plantings. We're pretty good shape. The rest of the world was in bad shape to start with, is in worse shape now. You also have African swine fever going around, wiping out most of the pork around the world. So, I mean, we're going to get back to this. It'll be a different economy. You know, we'll have lost a step. A lot of people lost a lot of savings. Very sad. But hopefully we're stronger for this.
Yeah. Well, listen, Chris, tell everybody how we can get a hold of you.
I'm in the Epoch Times every day. You can get it online. Go to the China section. I write on China every day.
Awesome. Chris Street, thank you very much for being with us. We got a whole bunch of things to talk about in the future with Chris, so we welcome him back anytime. Thanks, Chris. Anyway, we'll be back. Just learning about those pulse. Chickens. I don't own any chickens, but I know a lot of people who do. And I like free-range chickens. We'll be back.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
I'm going to do what I can do through executive action.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. I want to thank Chris for being with us. Chris, of course, started his radio career right here alongside me with Agenda 21 Radio back in the day. I mean, now we're looking back. It's back in the day, which is amazing, you know, absolutely amazing. I find it very interesting that that we have all this stuff happening right now. Right now we're kind of off air too, which I have no idea why we're off air. Trying to find out why. Anyway, we're going to try and we'll just continue the show for a podcast. But looks like we're disconnected from the internet. I don't know why we're disconnected from the internet, but we are. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Newcaliforniastate.com. What in the world is going on, right, with our New California? New California is actually doing a really good job. And we're going to be kind of going, I think, at the end of this year, I think we're going to be exactly where we need to be as a new state going forward. And I think Chris just verified the financial situation for California. They're probably not going to be, well, it remained exactly, in the same financial situation as they were in the past. But anyway, we got to run for time right now. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and stay strong, America. We're exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.